Joshua chapter 1, if you have your Bible or a Bible, join me in turning to the first chapter of Joshua. Pastor Stuart Briscoe told the following story in his book entitled Everyday Discipleship for Ordinary People. He writes, "One of my young colleagues was officiating at the funeral of a war veteran. The dead man's military friends wished to have a part in the service at the funeral home, so they requested the pastor to lead them down to the casket, stand with them for a solemn moment of remembrance, and then lead them out through the side door. This he proceeded to do, but unfortunately the effect was somewhat marred when he picked the wrong door. The result was that they marched with military precision into a broom closet in full view of the mourners and had to beat a hasty retreat covered with confusion." Briscoe adds this: "This story illustrates a cardinal rule or two. First, if you're going to lead, make sure you know where you're going. Second, if you're going to follow, make sure that you're following someone who knows what he's doing." Here's the question: are you a leader? Think about it. Are you a leader? Believe it or not, there are few of us, maybe none of us, who will not be expected and needed to lead spiritually in some capacity at some point in our lives. Some as pastors or deacons. Some as teachers or other ministry leaders. But even those who never filled these roles still need to be spiritual leaders. Husbands need to lead their families. Wives need to share with their husbands the leadership of the children. We all need to be spiritual leaders in our communities by the example we set of loving our neighbors as ourselves and serving them. In fact, whether it's on the job, at school, at home, in social settings, wherever we are, if we're Christians, we should be Christian leaders by exemplifying leadership, biblical, spiritual leadership qualities. In fact, I would say that in most cases, before you can lead someone to Christ, that person will want to see you already as a spiritual leader. All that means is that you're already ahead of him, all right? All you need to do really to be a leader is to be ahead of the person you're leading. Be a little bit further down the road in your walk with Christ. Tonight, we're turning again, as we did a few weeks ago, to the first chapter of Joshua, as Joshua has been tasked with leading the Israelites into the promised land. What characteristics did Joshua have that qualified him to do this? And what can we learn from his example that we may be able to apply to ourselves? I'm going to read first the first 9 chapters of Joshua 1. We'll come back to really at the end to read the rest of the chapter. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Would you bow with me again for prayer? Father, we accept this book as being from your hands, inspired by your Spirit, written by men who were moved along, borne along by your Holy Spirit. It is breathed out by you, and it is therefore helpful, instructive, necessary for us to teach us, to reprove us, to correct us, to train us in righteousness, that we may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Lord, we pray that you would tonight use your word to equip us as those who need to lead others in various capacities. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There are a number of qualities we could look at, a number of things, characteristics, but I just want to focus on three basically general principles or qualities, characteristics that we see that Joshua needed in order to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. The first qualification was spiritual preparation. Now, much of this actually comes before these verses here. But Joshua didn't just step into this role, you know, as an instantly made man, as an instantly made leader ready to assume the mantle that had passed from Moses to him. He didn't just burst on the scene in this first chapter of Joshua. There were about 40 years of preparation for Joshua, but they were not years of inactivity. Let me just give you some references. In Exodus 17, verses 8 through 16, Joshua leads the Israelites in battle against the Amalekites. In Exodus 24, 1 through 14, Joshua joins Moses on Mount Sinai, along with Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 elders, in receiving the law, being there with the Lord on the mountain. In Numbers chapters 13 and 14, Joshua, and this is one of those stories that we know Joshua for, he's one of the 12 spies that Moses sends out to spy the land of Canaan. And then in Numbers 27, verses 12 through 23, we see that Joshua is chosen by God to succeed Moses. So what we see is that Joshua had ample opportunities to learn and demonstrate leadership in preparation for being a leader. His being chosen and his success did not happen overnight, just as most successes are not really overnight successes. The New Testament also shows us the need for proven faithfulness before assuming spiritual leadership. For example, Jesus chose 12 and spent 3 years with them, preparing them, training them in order to be his disciples and eventually the apostles who became the foundation of the church. Pastor Greg read the passage from 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 13 about the qualifications for an elder or a pastor or a bishop and a deacon. And what we see there is that these are qualities that these men must already have. They must have been prepared in order to be recognized for a leadership position. Notice there's a need for demonstrated character, for men to be able to lead their families, to be mature, somewhat mature in the faith, not a convert, not a recent convert that is, and to have a good reputation with unbelievers, with those who are outside the church. If we are going to lead, there must be a time of preparation. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy. We don't know Timothy's age. He wasn't really young, but evidently he was young enough that Paul had a concern that there might be some who might not follow his leadership. And so he says, don't let anyone despise you because you're young, but be an example. And he lists several qualities in which Timothy is to be an example. Paul would not have put Timothy in the place he did if he did not see those qualities in him already. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, the Apostle Paul says this, writes this to Timothy. The things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable or faithful men who will also be qualified to teach others. So how do you know someone's faithful? They've demonstrated. They've been prepared for it. You have watched them. What are some of the implications of this? Number one, preparation precedes being a leader. If we are going to lead effectively, now sometimes people are put into leadership positions and they're not prepared for it. I certainly didn't feel prepared to be a parent, to be a father, whenever that time came. I thought it would be, you know, a few more decades down the road when I would have been a little more mature. But there it was. It was time. And so I was a father. But most of the time, preparation precedes leading. Another implication is that those who would lead must learn to follow. Until you've learned to submit to authority, you aren't ready to have authority. And there are many who want to lead who have never been very good at following. And it does not make for a good leader. Number three, and this is especially pertinent to parents and men in particular, those who cannot lead their own families cannot be spiritual leaders elsewhere. Joshua is a good example in this area. You remember some of his last words in Joshua 24? Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Whether the gods of the Amorites cross the river, you know, or whomever. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. They had been doing that, and they were going to continue to do that. The last thing that I want to say about this as far as preparation is that what we need to look for, whether in ourselves or in others, is progress, not perfection. There are no perfect leaders, obviously. But we do need to be the kind of people who are moving in the right direction, growing as leaders so that we can lead others. There's a second qualification here for Joshua's leadership that we see, and that is a biblically faithful plan. Joshua had a plan. The plan was actually given to him. It was given to him by the Lord. And that's often the case when we're going to be spiritual leaders. Pastors are given directions in Scripture about how to be pastors, how to lead the church. Parents are given clear instructions about how to lead their family. So what we need is not some novelty, not to come up with something creative on our own necessarily, but our plan must be biblically faithful. That doesn't mean that it's necessarily going to be spelled out exactly, but what the plan is needs to be faithful to Scripture if we are going to be spiritual leaders. What did the Lord tell Joshua? Stay with my word, basically. What you need is to know my word and follow it. Be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You know what? In God's word, there was not laid out for Joshua, okay, here's when you go fight and here's where you go fight. It was, the law was how to please God, how to live faithfully before the Lord. Now, certainly the Lord did lead Joshua in battle. But the thing Joshua needed most, he needed to know God's word, he needed to be true to it. James Boyce writes this: according to the Bible, the secret of success is to know God's word, speak about it, meditate on it, and then above all, do it. In God's world, there is no substitute for full obedience. That was why Joshua was so successful. Joshua was a good soldier, but he was no more brilliant as a commander than countless others who have swept across battle plains of world history. Joshua was a leader of men, but he was no more gifted at that than many others. Joshua's great secret was that he made it his job to know the law of God and do it. Joshua didn't have to be a visionary. He simply needed to be faithful to what God had already given him. Too often today, whatever the sphere is, we're looking for a new word from God, a sign, a new program, or something else, when we really just need to know God's word and follow it. We need to be faithful to know and obey God's word. So, and I've already addressed some of these, does the word of God have anything to say about how to be a pastor? Yes. A deacon? A teacher? What about an employee? Yes. An employer? A husband? A wife? A parent? A student? A neighbor? And on and on and on. What does 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 say? All scripture is, King James, given by inspiration of God, or God breathed, the ESV, and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man or person of God may be adequate, thoroughly equipped for what? For what? Every good work. That means being a pastor, being a deacon, being a parent, being a teacher, being a neighbor, being a worker, employee or employer, every good work. What we need is a biblically faithful plan. We need to be faithful to God's word as we seek to lead others. The third qualification that we see for Joshua's leadership was God-given promises. God-given promises. The Lord promised Joshua because he had prepared him and because he had given him the plan, his word, that he would be successful. Notice what the Lord says. Moses, my servant, is dead. Verse 2. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, and into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. It's a promise. Every place you go, I've given it to you. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. And then verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So, two broad promises the Lord gave to Joshua. Number one, prosperity and success. You will be successful. Joshua and the nation would have success in what God had called them to do. And as long as they followed the Lord, they were successful. When they strayed from that, they were not successful at all. The Lord promised them, if they would obey, if they would heed his word, he would grant them success. It reminds me of what the Lord promises in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in what? The law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of living water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not wither. And in whatever he does, he what? Prospers. The Lord gives promises to his people who will honor his word, who will keep his word. But not only did he promise success, he promised to be with him. He promised his presence. He promised his presence. And I just want you to know that goes a long way, because not every single situation will feel like a success. But when you know that you have the Lord with you, you can withstand even what appear to be failures at the time. The Lord says, do not be frightened, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Again, they had some setbacks as they entered Canaan and sought to claim it for the Lord and for Israel. But they knew the Lord was with them. And eventually they experienced victory. So the question is, what promises has God given to us as leaders? Because as I look out there, you're all leaders in some area, or potential leaders at least, called to lead. Has God promised you his presence? Yes. Has he promised to provide for you? For us? Yes. Has he promised to protect you? Ultimately, yes. Doesn't mean you won't suffer, but he will protect you. Has he promised ultimate success? Yes. If you define success as being with the Lord for all eternity, right? As having his pleasure. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 addresses this, because sometimes we won't feel and others won't feel like maybe we're leading very well. And Paul writes, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, this is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time. Before the Lord comes, that's the time. Who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. Because as leaders, as parents, sometimes you're going to feel like, did I really do a good job? Are they really going to make it? Don't judge things before the time. As pastors and deacons and church leaders, sometimes we'll look around and wonder about that. As neighbors and friends and workers who are seeking to have a spiritual influence on others, sometimes we'll feel like we're not having an influence on anybody. The Apostle Paul says, don't judge things before the time. Trust the Lord's promises. He has promised his presence. He's promised to provide. He's promised to protect. He's promised ultimate success. There's one more thing that a leader must have to truly be a leader, and that's followers. How do you get those? Well, a lot of times they come with the territory, all right? But how do you get them to follow? Well, that's a question for another time. I'm still working on that one. But let me read Joshua 1:10 through 18. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan to go in to take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is providing you a place of rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land that Moses gave you beyond the Jordan, but all the men of valor among you shall pass over armed before your brothers and shall help them until the Lord gives rest to your brothers as he has to you, and they also take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession shall possess it, the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise. That's just Joshua's reminding this 2.5 tribes whose possession they asked for on the east side of the Jordan. He's saying, okay, now you still have to go fight for your brothers. But here's what I want to get to. Verse 16, and they answered Joshua, all that you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandment, disobeys your words, whatever you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous.